Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. While you're opening up your Bibles, don't forget, men, about our men's events coming up. It's not too late to sign up. We've got one in the morning at 7 o'clock at Table 100. That's our Power Up event. I'm going to be interviewing a Christian businessman, talking to him about how God has helped him have success, both as an individual and in his career as well. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have a great time. And so if you signed up, make sure you show up. And if you haven't signed up, sign up and show up. Once again, it's not too late to sign up for that. You can sign up for it this morning and meet us out at Table 100 at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have a great time. Also with our Mighty Men event, it's coming up as well. So we want to invite you to sign up for that. We do it bi-monthly or every other month. So with that, we have one coming up here in May. It's going to be a free event. It's on a Saturday from 10 to 12. We're going to have a great time. Once again, we're going to teach the word. We're going to have a lot of fun. And then we're going to feed all you men for free. The event is free because we want to be a blessing to you. I think we've got over 300 signed up right about there. So if we just get a couple of more today, we should be able to surpass the ladies and set the bar again. Men, we want to invite you not only to come out, but if you know people, know other men who you'd like to bring. Once again, it's a free event, so ask them to come and you can sign them up. We're just going to have a great time with the Lord. Once again, opening up your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to talk about some things concerning the favor of God today. I got an email from one of my staff, and they said, I just found out what fog meant. You know, I've been seeing walking in the fog for the last couple of weeks, and I was wondering if he's going to do a story about fog or something like that. No, what fog means is favor of God. It's short for favor of God. F for favor. O for of, G for God, favor of God. And we've been talking about that, and I pray that you've been doing what we exhorted you to do last week and be believing to see the favor of God in your life, in operation in your life. And we said if you're going to see the favor of God in operation in your life, you need to do some things to increase in favor. And we said the first thing you need to do is to frame your world with favor. And what we meant by that was expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wake up every day and say, Father, I thank you. Your favor is surrounding me like a shield. Like we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, singing songs like we just sang is framing your world with the favor of God. Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. Scriptures like that, say those scriptures. We said last week, if all you can do is say Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And continue framing your world with the favor of God. Then we said point number two, open your eyes to the favor that is all around you. Such a significant point. In all of our lives, God has been good to us. Just the sheer fact you've got life this morning is a sign God has been good to you. There's so much you can say thank you for to Him. So if there's anything good in your life currently, give God thanks that His favor has given you that. Give Him thanks that His goodness has shown up in your life. And when something good does happen to you, give all the credit to the favor of God. Give all the credit to God being good to you. Open your eyes to the favor all around you. And point number three, and this point, it is huge in me. In fact, I was listening to a CD a couple of weeks ago where the preacher was talking about this point, and it's what started the whole series for me. And point number three is this, give yourselves to continual obedience. Give yourself to continual obedience. Now, before we move on, I want you to see something. Look by point number one, you see the F. Look by the point number two, you see the O. Look by point number three, you see the G, fog. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It took me a lot of time to come up with that. Come on now. Give yourself to continual obedience. Now, in this message, it's probably going to be a fact that you are going to be challenged in some way. Now, most of the time on Sunday morning, I am very inspirational. On Wednesday nights, we get into instruction a lot of times. We're very instructional. But on this Sunday morning, as we're teaching the Word of God, I pray that you are challenged in some way to come up higher in your submission to God. And as we're doing this, remember, I'm Pastor Joel, and I'm your friend. I love you, and I want to see God's best come into your life. But I also want to challenge you to go after God's best. And with this, if you see something today that you need to make a change in, always follow our three-step formula. Anybody remember our three-step formula? If you see you need to make a change in something, step number one is this: admit it. Don't play around with it. Don't push it under a rug. No, if you see you need to make a change, admit you need to make a change. Then step number two, quit it. Admit it, then change. Make the change. Quit doing the action. Make the adjustment. And then step number three, forget it. Forget that it ever happened. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. There's no condemnation in God. He's never going to beat you up for anything you have done or should have done. No, God is there to help you. So admit it, quit it, forget it. Why don't you say those 3 points with me? Say, admit it. Oh, I need to admit it. Step number two, quit it. Step number three, forget it. Act like it never happened. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. As I mentioned, I was listening to a CD. The CD, it's an old one by John Osteen, Joel's father. And John was preaching a message that he preached a good bit. And it was entitled, A Place Called There. And his golden text, and the golden text is what you build your message around and off of, was found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look here in verse 2. There's a famine in the land, and God wants to take care of his man. Isn't that good to know? There's a famine in the land. God still wants to take care of you. And in verse 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, him being Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. If you have a pen or a highlighter, circle or highlight that word. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Another key phrase. He went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, there's a famine in the land. God wants to take care of his man. God always wants to take care of his people. And in order for God to take care of his man, he begins to do something. And what he does is he gives him instruction. Now, this is an important point. Whenever God wants to provide for you in any way, but particularly financially, he doesn't just rain down dollars from the heavens. When God wants to increase you, he will 9 times out of 10 give you an instruction to follow. Here, he wants his man to be taken care of. And in order for this man to be taken care of, he needs to follow the instruction that God is giving him. And he tells them that there is a brook in Cherith, and I want you to be there at that brook. Be at the brook of Cherith, for it is there that I will take care of you. It is there where your provision is. And when Elijah got there, God blessed him and really put so much favor on his life that birds every single morning and every single evening were dropping off bread and meat for him to eat. That's a miracle, friend. I've seen a lot of birds, but none of them are dropping loaves of bread off at my house. That's a miracle, friend. But notice, what do you think would have happened if Elijah said, you know what, I don't like Cherith. You know, it's just something about that place I don't like. I think I'm going to go over to Brandon. Yeah, that's where I want to be. I want to go over there. It looks the best. You know, I've heard that the famine's here, but I think if I go over there, that just seems like the best opportunity. Friend, God would have still sent provision, but Elijah never would have seen it because the provision was coming at the brook called Cherith. God told him to be there, and if Elijah didn't get there, it wasn't God's fault if Elijah didn't get fed. God had given Elijah instruction. It was Elijah's job to hear that instruction, then do that instruction. And if he heard it and did it, then God would send that provision the exact way God said he would send it. Finally, you see the brook begins to dry up. The season of life changes, and this is important. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There are times in our life where seasons change and we need to move on. And finally, the brook called Cherith dried up. And when it dried up, God came with more instruction. And the instruction was, go down to that city. There's a widow woman there who I've called, and the Bible says, commanded to sustain thee there. If Elijah would have said, you know what, I don't feel like going there. It's more comfortable for me to be here. That's a long walk. That widow woman would have still been there to provide for Elijah, but Elijah never would have seen any of that provision if he didn't get to the place God told him to get to. And friend, I'm telling you, when we walk in obedience, there is grace that comes to us, a grace for life, a favor for life, a favor for provision. It seems today in modern day Christianity that people are preaching a gospel that almost gives the idea to people that obedience to God counts for nothing. That obedience is strictly an Old Testament deal. Friend, I'm telling you, it is not an Old Testament deal. Obedience in God's kingdom, it counts for something. And when we obey God, it puts us in a place to walk in provision. When things are drying up in our lives, God is going to give us instruction. When we follow that instruction, we will walk into his provision. We will walk into his favor. But if we harden our heart to that instruction, if we make up our minds that we want to do something else, go in a different way, then God still wants to provide for us, but he's got set places to provide for us. In the book of Psalms, it talks about how God brought his people into a wealthy place. It was a physical place, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know what? An entire generation lived and died without ever getting into that land because they wouldn't take the time to hear and then do what God was telling them to do. Friend, I want to encourage you. There is a place called there for you. For some of you, it may be a literal, physical place. You know in your heart God's called you to take a certain job or to launch out in faith and start a business. I know for me, when I went to Rhema for my first year, I knew when I came home for that summer, Rhema's the Bible training center I went to. When I came home for that summer, I knew that I was not supposed to go back for my second year of Bible training. I knew in my heart that I was supposed to stay there and pastor the church. But I didn't feel ready. I didn't feel prepared. It seemed too big. And so I did what I shouldn't have done. I went to the wrong place. And I went back to Bible Training Center. I went back to Rhema. And friend, when I got up there, the brook dried up fast. I mean, it seemed like all grace for living was flying out the door. And it wasn't because God didn't want to give me grace. He had set his grace here. And it wasn't until I made a decision that, you know what, even though I don't feel like I'm ready, and even though I don't feel like I'm prepared, I know God has called me to do that. When I got in my place, that's where grace started to flow. That's where provision started to flow. So maybe for you, it's a natural place you need to be and a natural change you need to make. And God's calling you out. And friend, let me tell you this from experience and from the Bible. Whenever God is calling you to do something new, you need to be something that God told Joshua to be in Joshua chapter 1. You need to be strong and of good courage and step out and just do the thing that God has called you to do. So maybe for some of you this morning, your place called there where your provision is doing a simple, natural thing, making an adjustment. But friends, I think for all of us in here, there's probably been instruction that the Lord has been giving us. Maybe it's not to make a natural change, but just in your heart, the Lord has been prompting you to do something. Friend, with every instruction comes an opportunity for increase. And when we obey that instruction that the Lord is leading us in, when we soften our heart to submit to his will and to obey our Lord and to give him our lives in continual obedience, I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you. Go over to the book of Matthew, book of Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives a parable on how the kingdom of God works. And while they're turning in Matthew chapter 25, on the screens, can you pull up Luke chapter 19, verses 21 through 22? Matthew chapter 25 is what we're turning to in our Bibles. On the screens, let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 19, verses 21 through 22. In Matthew chapter 25, look at this verse in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." And let's just stop right there. Jesus is talking about how his kingdom works, how his kingdom operates. Now, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you got translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. You are in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen of that kingdom. And just like any set of government, a kingdom is a type of government. There are laws that govern each government. There are laws in the kingdom of God, and these laws work every single time. And Jesus, particularly in Matthew chapter 25, if we could read the whole chapter this morning, I would love to, because he talks a lot about the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 25. But here in Matthew 25 and verse 14, we see him give an example of how the kingdom of God works. Let's read this carefully, and we may skip a couple of verses, but let's just start again in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. Now, God's talking about the kingdom of God and how it operates, how it works. And notice, in God's kingdom, there are some people who get more than others. That's interesting, isn't it? In God's kingdom, there are some people who are walking in more than other people. To one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. Well, it wasn't because God liked one person more than the other. He gave them their talents according, the Bible says, to their ability to handle what he was giving them. It's a key point. Now, what determines our ability? Why would God give us more? We have to demonstrate an ability to work with what he gives us. If you read the following passages, you see that the man who had five talents went out and turned the five talents into ten. He did something with what the Lord gave him. The Lord gave him something, and he did something with it. The man who had two talents went out and did the same. He turned the two into four. He did something with what the Lord gave him. Now, watch what Jesus says to these men. Go down and look in verse 23. His Lord said unto him in verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Notice, God is looking at our ability to handle what he gives us. When God gives you something, what do you do with what he gives you? Now, this is a wonderful passage on stewardship, and we know as Christians, we are not owners of anything, we are stewards, and so it's very easy to talk about this from a material standpoint, and talk about what are you doing with the car you currently have if you're believing for a new car. If you're believing for a new house, what are you doing with the house you currently have or the apartment you currently have? If you're faithful with a few things, God will make you ruler over many things. In the book of Luke, it talks about, not this passage, but in the book of Luke, it talks about that if you're not faithful in that which is another man's, God cannot reward you with your own. So if you're believing God for a business, but you're not being faithful in the business that you're operating in now because it's not yours, God says, I'm not going to give you your own business. You've got to be faithful with what God has put into your possession. And there was one person. Now, once again, why did God give 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1? It was according to their ability to handle what he was giving them. And right away, the person who he gave one talent to, we see why God only gave him one. Watch what this person did in verse 24. Then he which received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering while thou hast not strawed." Now, notice this word, "knew." Verse 24, let's read it again. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew, I know you. And thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering while thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there is thou which that is thine." Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. This word slothful means lazy. It actually in the Greek means tardy or hesitant. Meaning this individual, he thought about doing something with that one talent, but then he decided, I'll do it another time. I thought, I know the Lord's expecting me to do something with this, but I'll do it later. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Watch what the Lord tells him here. He says in verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my command I should have received my own usury. Now let's read this passage of scripture from Luke chapter 19, verse 21. He says, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up while thou did not layest down, and reapest where thou did not sow. Go to the next verse. And he said unto him, watch this. Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up which I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Now let's read this first part again. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou did what? Knewest. Out of your own mouth will I judge thee. Why was this man getting judged? And you read what his judgment was. Not only did he not get blessed with more, but what he had got taken away. Why is this important? Jesus said, this is how my kingdom works. It's wise for every child of God to pay attention when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. He turned to this man who had one talent and he said, you said out of your own mouth what you knew I would expect of you. And you did nothing with what you knew to do. You knew I was a hard man reaping where I had not sown. Not only did you know it, you said it out of your own mouth. I know you know what to do with that one talent, but you did nothing with it. Oh, friend. Oh, this is so important. So important. You can walk in as much grace as you can possibly imagine. Where God is layering your life with grace after grace after grace after grace. Promotion after promotion. Favor after favor. Or you can walk like this man. And wonder, where is the hand of God in your life? What caused this man to be judged? His failure to do anything with what the Lord gave to him. Friend, I want to encourage you. The Lord is giving us things all the time. I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about instruction. I'm talking about He's constantly trying to lead us to our there, to our place called there. And sometimes that instruction, it seems little. One talent seemed like a little bit. But his goal, the master's goal, was not to take away the one talent that this man had. It was for this man to prove himself faithful. The man who had five proved himself faithful and turned five into 10. Guess what? The blessing didn't stop there. The Lord told him, hey, you've been faithful with that which is little. I'm going to make you a rewarder of much. The man who had two was faithful with what the Lord put in his possession. He turned two into four. Not only did he get that increase, but the Lord said, because you've done that, you've been faithful with little things. Now I'm going to put more into your hands. The man who just had one, though, did nothing with what he knew to do. He knew his master. He knew his master was expecting him to do something. To do something with the instruction God had given him. But he didn't do anything with it. Friend, if we want to walk in more grace, we've got to give ourselves to continual obedience. And it doesn't stop with last week's instruction. It's whatever the Lord is telling you to do now. You got to put yourself in a position where you're not just a hearer of His word, but you're a doer of it. When you do it and you get in your place called there, you will see the handiwork of God. You will see the provision of God. I look at my life now and I see what God is doing, and it's amazing to see and to be a part of. It's because I'm in my place called there, not just my physical place. But friend, if the Lord puts something on your heart to do, do it. Go to the book of James. Go to the book of James. James chapter 4. And let's look here in verse 17. James chapter 4. Well, you know what? On the screens, go to James 4 and 17. Let's go over to Hebrews in our Bibles. They're right next door to each other. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, I'm Pastor Joel. I'm your friend. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look here in verse 6 in our Bibles. On the screens, James chapter 4 and verse 17. Notice James chapter 4 and verse 17 says this: therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is sin in my life? It's for me to know to do something, but I don't do it. That means I've sinned. That word sin, if you've gone to this church, you know it's an archery term. What does it mean? It means to what? Miss the mark. That word sin is an archery term. It means to miss the mark. And here we see what sin is. When I know to do something, but I don't do it, to me, it is sin. Now, when we enter over into those areas, God wants us out of that sin as fast as possible, because he knows what sin will do. Disobedience to God's will always lead to destruction. It always has, and it always will. Now, thank God we are under grace, that when we've recognized we have missed it, we can go to God and get forgiveness, admit it, quit it, and forget it. Move on. But friend, it's a dangerous thing to not do anything with the adjustment God's telling you to make. It's a dangerous thing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Notice what it says here: for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. This is New Testament, friends. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who whom receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all of you are partakers, then you are fatherless and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Notice he's talking about how God is a father. Never forget that. God, he is a parent. And as a parent, what does any good parent want for their kids? The best. God wants his best for us. And he says that just as a father would correct his natural children, our heavenly Father will correct us. Now, when people hear that, they often go tilt. And the reason why they go tilt is they've never seen godly correction. Most people, when they think of correction, they think of someone getting mad at them, yelling at them, being mean to them. And God even says that sometimes those natural fathers corrected us for their own pleasure. But God is saying, I will never do that to you. When I correct you and I'm telling you to make an adjustment, it's not because I want anything from you. It is for your profit. And friends, I want to encourage you, walk with God. And when he puts an adjustment on your heart to make, make that adjustment because it is for your profit. The example that he gives is the example of Esau in the coming scriptures here. We don't have time to read it. But the example that he gives is the example of Esau. And we talked about him a little on Wednesday night. Esau had a birthright from God, a blessing from God that was his. But one day he came in and saw his brother Jacob making some soup there. And he had been out, Esau had been out in the field working hard all day. And just like any man who's worked real hard, when he comes in, he's hungry. And Esau's hungry and he smells that soup. And oh, he wants it so bad. He wants that piece of meat that's in that soup so bad. And he tells his brother Jacob, give me that soup. And Jacob says, all right. I'll give you the soup if you give me your birthright. Birthright, which is a lifetime blessing, or soup, a meal that will fill you up for maybe 45 minutes, and after you eat it, you want something with substance. Come on now. Lifetime blessing, short-term pleasure. Lifetime blessing, short-term pleasure. You know what Esau did? He chose the short-term pleasure. And the Bible gives him as an example. Well, let's read it. We can see it here. It's right here in the same chapter. Verse 16. Hebrews 12 and 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how afterwards that he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Think about that. Esau, in a moment of, as my father used to say, of a stupid attack. He just had a stupid attack. And in this moment, he picked a bowl of soup with some meat in it over a lifetime blessing because his flesh wanted it really, really bad. But after he did it, he said, what have I done? And he went to his father with tears streaming down his cheeks, wanting to change the past. But he couldn't change the past. He couldn't change the past. And that's what God is trying to tell us. The reason why I'm correcting you is I don't want you to wind up like Esau. Someone who keeps choosing the short-term benefits and not choosing the long-term gains. The reason why I'm dealing with your heart now is I know there will be a time, and you may not see it now, but I know there will be a time where you're on your knees begging for me to change something that is a result of your own bad decision that I was telling you not to get into months, weeks, sometimes years before you ever did it. He said, I don't want you like Esau. That's the reason why God deals with us. He's trying to not correct us, but get us in our place called there. He wanted Esau walking in the blessing. But Esau chose to go a different route. Friend, I've got tons of more scriptures I could give you, but I am out of time. In the book of James and 1 Peter, it talks about our great God gives more grace. You can walk in more grace. But how do you get it? It tells us in those scriptures. Humility. What is humility? Humility is submission to God. There's a passage in Jeremiah that talks about how God is longing to bless his people. But he says, you would not listen. Oh, I want to bless you, but you will not listen. They kept hardening their heart. He said, you got a stiff neck. What's a stiff neck? If you've ever had a horse that had a stiff neck, it won't turn. It won't change directions. He said, my people, they got stiff necks. They won't change. Why does he want them to change? Not for his benefit, but for our benefit. I want to encourage you, whatever God is putting on your heart to do right now, don't for one minute ignore it and think it's trivial. Don't for one man do what that man who only had one talent did and go out and bury your talent and go out and act like God hadn't given you any instruction. Friend, God is giving you instruction to get you in your place called there. He wants your life loaded down with favor and provision, loaded down with blessings. Why? He's a father and he wants his best for you. But I got to give myself to obedience. Now somebody said, Pastor, I know I need to make some adjustments. And as you're talking, I know I need to change. Don't feel bad. Don't for one minute feel bad for your past. But follow our three-step formula. Number one, what do? We admit it. Oh, God, I see I need to make a change. I see it. Oh, God, forgive me. Step number one, admit it. Step number two, quit it. Make the change. Make the adjustment. And then step number three, what do? You forget it. You can walk out of this place with your head held high, knowing God's forgiven you. You've judged yourself. Therefore, you won't be judged. His mercy's going to come upon you. Well, somebody says, well, what about if tomorrow I wake up and do the same thing? Go back to step number one. Admit it. Then after you admit it, quit it. Then after you quit it, forget it. And then if you wake up Wednesday and do the same dumb thing, you have another stupid attack, go back to step number one, admit it, then step number two, quit it, and then step number three, forget it. And thank God the whole time you're under grace and not under the law. Amen. Because that's what God's grace for forgiveness does. When you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you can't sweep it under the rug. You can't keep picking the wrong choice and expect God's favor and blessing to just follow you everywhere. Notice in the prodigal son's life, I've said this before, but it's such a good example. When he was in the father's house, what did he get? He got the blessing. When he walked out of the father's house, and he was still a son, but when he walked away from the father, what happened to him? He lost all grace for life. Grace for forgiveness was still there. At any point, he could run to the father, and the father would forgive him. But as long as he's picking the wrong choices, all grace for living was vanishing. It didn't happen all at once. He got out there at first, and man, there was still a grace there. He's still got his money, he's got friends, and yeah, he could have turned back then and would have been okay, but he kept picking wrong. And eventually he found himself in a pigsty. Was God's grace there? Yes, God's grace for forgiveness was there, but there was no grace for life. The father was not stifling and sending checks in the mail to him out at the pig farm. What was he expecting his son to do? Get up and come home. Admit it. Quit it, forget it, come on home. And when he came home, the father didn't condemn him. He loved him, and not only did he love him, he blessed him. He rewarded him for his actions, put his favor on him for his actions. Why? He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. The Lord wasn't trying to correct him. He was trying to bless him. And in that change, in that correction, it led to the blessing. Oh, friends, I want to encourage you. Whatever he's telling you to do, do it. Give yourself to continual obedience. You will see the favor of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed.